Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Last Branch, Standing by Sarah Isger, is an insider-informed work of contemporary legal and political nonfiction about the United States Supreme Court. Isger, known for legal commentary and her role at Scotus Blog, writes for readers who follow politics but may not have formal legal training. The book explains how the court operates, why its behavior often resists simple partisan description, and how its institutional habits shape public law. Its purpose is not merely to summarize major cases, but to give readers a framework for interpreting decisions, alliances, procedures, and public controversies around the court. The title signals a broader argument in a political system where Congress and the presidency often appear unstable, polarized, or overextended. The Supreme Court remains a distinctive branch with unusual norms, limits, and responsibilities. The tone is accessible and occasionally humorous, but the subject is serious: constitutional authority, judicial legitimacy, and the role of courts in a divided democracy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the two-axis model challenges the familiar liberal versus conservative map. A central feature of Last Branch Standing is its effort to move readers beyond the common 6-3 story of the modern Supreme Court. Isger treats ideology as important but incomplete. The familiar left-to-right spectrum captures real differences in constitutional interpretation, statutory reading, administrative power, religious liberty, criminal procedure, and other contested areas, yet it often fails to explain why justices who appear aligned in broad political terms split in particular cases. To address that problem, the book introduces a second dimension that distinguishes institutionalists from more disruptive or less institution-bound actors. This institutional axis helps explain why questions of procedure, precedent, timing, standing, emergency relief, and court legitimacy can scramble predictable coalitions. The result is a more textured picture, sometimes described as closer to a 3-3-3 court than a simple conservative bloc opposed to a liberal bloc. The value of the model is practical. It teaches readers to ask not only what outcome a justice may prefer, but also how that justice understands the court as an institution, how much weight that justice gives to stability, and whether the case calls for broad transformation or narrower resolution. Secondly, court procedure matters because outcomes often begin before merits arguments. The book emphasizes that Supreme Court decision-making cannot be understood only by reading final opinions. Much of the court work occurs through less visible procedural choices, which petitions are granted, how questions are framed, whether emergency applications are accepted, and how lower court records constrain the final decision. Isger uses an explanatory style to show that the court is not a free-floating policy council. It depends on litigants, procedural rules, jurisdictional limits, and the internal process by which cases move from petition to conference to argument to opinion. This focus is important because public debate often treats the court as though it simply selects political controversies and declares winners. In reality, case selection can determine the legal issue before the justices, and narrow procedural rulings can have large practical consequences without resolving the full constitutional dispute. The attention to clerks, chambers culture, briefing, and internal workflow gives readers a clearer sense of the court as a working legal institution. It also helps explain why some major public controversies do not become major Supreme Court decisions, while technical cases can reshape doctrine in lasting ways. Thirdly, the court is presented as counter-majoritarian by design, not by accident. A recurring argument in Last Branch Standing is that the Supreme Court occupies an unusual place in American constitutional design because it is meant to resist direct majoritarian pressure. This does not mean the court is above criticism or detached from politics in every sense. Rather, its structure gives life-tenured judges the authority to decide legal questions even when the answers are unpopular. Isger links this design to the protection of constitutional boundaries and minority rights, especially when the elected branches are driven by short-term incentives. The book, therefore, asks readers to distinguish democratic dissatisfaction from institutional failure. A decision may be unpopular and still reflect the court's proper function if it applies constitutional or statutory rules against the preferences of a political majority. At the same time, the court depends on legitimacy, so its independence is not unlimited in practical terms. The tension between legal insulation and public trust is one of the reasons the book treats institutionalism as a major analytical category. The court can be the last branch, standing only if it both resists political pressure and preserves enough credibility to make its judgments durable. Fourthly, the shadow docket illustrates the gap between legal process and public perception. Isger addresses the emergency orders process, often called the shadow docket, because it has become one of the most visible sources of criticism of the modern court. These decisions can affect immigration policy, election rules, pandemic measures, religious liberty disputes, executions, and administrative actions before full briefing and ordinary merits review. The book treats this area as a useful example of how procedure shapes legitimacy. Emergency rulings are sometimes necessary because legal disputes move faster than the regular court calendar, and lower court injunctions can create immediate national consequences. But the compressed format also increases the risk that observers will see the court as acting politically, especially when orders are brief or unsigned. The shadow docket, therefore, sits at the intersection of institutional necessity and reputational danger. By explaining how emergency relief works, Isger helps readers understand why the court may act quickly, while also why those actions generate suspicion. The broader lesson is that public confidence depends not only on outcomes, but on whether the reasoning and procedural posture are intelligible to people outside the legal profession. Lastly, humor and insider detail make the institution legible without turning it into gossip. One of the distinguishing features of Last Branch Standing is its attempt to humanize the Supreme Court while still treating it as a serious constitutional institution. Isger includes details about the culture surrounding the court, including clerks, chambers, professional norms, personal quirks, and the social world that develops around a small and powerful legal workplace. These details matter because the court is often portrayed either as a set of abstract doctrines or as a purely partisan battlefield. The book offers a third mode, the court, as a small institution staffed by people with habits, rivalries, loyalties, legal commitments, and professional incentives. The occasional wit serves an explanatory function rather than simply decorating the analysis. It lowers the barrier for readers who might otherwise find legal process remote or intimidating. At the same time, the approach has a natural limit. Humanizing the justices does not settle the merits of contested constitutional law, nor does insider familiarity eliminate the need for external criticism. Its contribution is to make the court more understandable without reducing it to either personality drama or ideology alone. In conclusion, Last Branch Standing is best suited for readers who want to understand the Supreme Court without relying on cable news shorthand or purely academic legal theory. It'll be useful for law students, politically engaged citizens, journalists, teachers, and readers who follow major constitutional disputes but want a clearer account of how the institution actually works. Its practical benefit is interpretive. It gives readers tools for reading court behavior through ideology, institutional loyalty, procedure, emergency decision-making, and legitimacy concerns. Its intellectual benefit is that it separates disagreement with outcomes from analysis of institutional design, which is essential for understanding why the court can be both controversial and constitutionally necessary. Compared with many books on the Supreme Court, this one stands out for combining accessible explanation, insider perspective, and a specific analytical model rather than offering only biography, case history, or partisan critique. It does not appear to aim at exhaustive doctrinal scholarship. Its strength is translation, turning court culture, legal process, and institutional conflict into concepts that non-specialists can use. Readers seeking a neutral introduction with enough sharpness to challenge simplistic assumptions will likely find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Sarah Isger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.